The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's. That's wrong.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, in the Twilight Zone, sitting here on this day before election, November 7th, 2016.
John, let me ask you a question. What makes you unsured or assured of who will win tomorrow?
For all the table stakes, what we know that is being protected and that dare not be exposed to the American people. And, you know, you can call it graft, you can call it corruption, you can call it the federal bureaucracy, you can call it anything that you want. But anybody with two brain cells that can synapse and send a signal to one or the other will tell you that this country has been gutted and it has been destroyed. And the master architects of that plan are the middlemen that we like to call the Federal Reserve people. The banking, the Emergency Banking Act of 1913. There's too much at stake. And if the United States says to the Federal Reserve, the ultimate funny money people on this planet, hey, go take a hike, don't you think there's going to be other countries that are going to look at the United States and an action taken like that, that it might be in their best interest to decouple from the funny money people? At least put a currency out in their own markets that can't be manipulated or charged a tax for its use. We call it usury. They call it interest.
Well, I think any country that did that would decisively get rid of inflation and deflation. Therefore, they only could have economic growth from that point.
Isn't it funny that we're not hearing any economic reports out of Iceland? And this is the one country that did actually put their crooked bankers in jail?
Well, that is. It's, well, who's covering it? The main media should be covering it. But,
don't worry. Don't worry. Sean Hannity's on the case, and he's going to smoke out the bad guys in the media. Oh, God.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Kent in West Virginia. Hello, Kent. Hello, Kent.
Hi,
Tom. Hi.
Yeah, well, you know, there's been all these polls and allegations. The polls in the media are not honest. And I'm thinking that they're getting, you know, they run these very elaborate hidden secret polls, and I'm thinking they're getting some bad news. And you're saying that they're just not going to let Trump win. This thing where Comey came out and violated the Hatch Act, this law that prevents government employees from taking actions to interfere in the electoral process. And no sooner than that, than you had, I was watching CNN, and two people from the Bush, Team Bush, one guy was with Daddy Bush, one guy was with, and they filed actions, legal documents, and they're laying the groundwork for a legal challenge based on the violation of this Hatch Act. And they're going to try to invalidate the election. And I think they know. And I'm reading, RT just came up with a report. They're saying Glenn Beck, believe it or not, that idiot Glenn Beck, in the New Yorker magazine for, can you believe this? There's an interview in the New Yorker magazine with this idiot Glenn Beck saying that he is, he's changed his mind, and he's calling, he says, referring to Trump, he says, Trump invited him to the Mar-a-Lago, and he was in one room, and Trump was in the other, and they talked by phone, and he says, the conversation as Howard Hughes-like, and left him thinking, this guy is dangerously unhinged. And you know, when the New Yorker magazine runs, interviews this idiot, they're worried because they don't give much credence to anything he says, and I think that tells me they're really worried. You know.
Well, and Glenn Beck has done his level best to, Beck is down here in Texas now. It's probably going to take some kind of legislation through the state to deport him. But hey, I think the guy should go back on drugs myself. I think he should go back into shock jock radio. That's his realm. This guy, when he does his radio program anymore, you notice something, Kent? There's no caller line into his show anymore.
No, I've never listened to him.
Well, and I'm telling you, I do, and I'm telling you that there are no callers, the listening audience, allowed into his show because they would rip the crap out of this guy. It's just, he just gets up there and pontificates and talks about this and talks about that and cries on cue. And, you know, he reminds me of Hillary Clinton on how much he cares, but he doesn't care enough to get the input from his listening audience. And a lot of talk show hosts will use the audience as a barometer to keep them in check in case they run off the rails. Well, evidently, he's still chugging and he's so far off the rails that, hell, he doesn't even want his listening audience anywhere near him.
Well, yeah, and the fact that, you know, if he's gone off, and for him to be popping up in the New Yorker really emphasizes that, you know, because they wouldn't give him the time of day, presumably, particularly on the eve of the election. I mean, what do they want this word to get out? You know,
yeah.
I mean, it just seems kind of very odd. You know, I just think they know the secret polls, and I know that it's you know they're fearful it's going to go the other direction, and they're laying the groundwork. They're just going to. I don't think tomorrow. I think tomorrow is just the bell for the opening round of a big long fight. I don't know.
And you're probably correct. Now, if Trump wins, what is Hillary Clinton going to start filing lawsuits? Oh, please!
Well, what? No, they filed motions. They filed documents. I forget. And you know they put on record. They're a protest that, you know, Comey violated his Hatch Act when he came out and reopened this thing. And I think that's the groundwork they're going to use. They're going to say, well, you know, this has been tipped.
Well, and Hillary's standing in the middle of a minefield and taking directions on the Macarena dance. This woman doesn't have any wiggle room. The only place she's going to go is straight to hell or straight to jail, whichever comes first. She's running a very dangerous game. Very, very dangerous. It's called the exposure of the Clinton cabal. And she cannot stand a full bore, tear it down investigation to find out how, we already know she's crooked, but we don't know in how many different realms and how many different aspects she is crooked. We all know she's rotten, her and her hubby. But we don't know, you know, we're looking at the iceberg that sunk the Titanic, you know? We're only seeing the tip of it.
Well, when she gets in, if she gets in there, she's going to start a war. And once the war is started, then all that stuff is just going to be just sort of swept off the table. You know,
And I wouldn't put it past them. I mean, this has been suggested before. There's several different options in this Petri dish here that they can cook up. And I wouldn't put them past them to do a false flag. If they do a false flag that's big enough and blows up enough people, say on the magnitude of Twin Towers, 1990, what was that? 2001, New York City, remember that one? You know what? Well, let's just go blow something up. Let's blame it on the jihadist. You know, we got to have a lockdown and martial law is declared. We're overrun with terrorists.
Well, you remember in 2000 they had this election thing, and you know, 9 months later we have to believe that was planned before the election, and so now I personally believe they have something planned, and Trump's in the way. And he's just not going to be. He's just going to have to get out of the way. They're going to do anything and everything.
There's only one problem with this, Kent. There's no getting away out of this collateral damage, either which way it goes. We're going to find out the globalists, the power behind the throne, how desperate they really are, because part of this program was to destroy the United States as a world power, and they pretty much accomplished that. They have emptied out the refrigerator here. Okay, you walk in your kitchen, refrigerator's still there, open it up, and oh, Mother Hubbard, oh, look at my refrigerated cupboard. It's bare. And Hillary Clinton is getting up there. If you care about America, you care about our future. If you care about our security. What? Excuse me? Huh. Kent, thanks for your call. Let me go to Alan in South Carolina. Hello, Alan.
Hey, John.
Hey.
The first thing I called about was to argue with you about your correct your arithmetic on one thing and argue about with you on a couple other things. But a moment ago, you said something sort of facetiously about anybody might be elected president or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Caused me to share my personal experience with you from voting early. I think Mr. McMullen is the most likely candidate. They were touting him on ETV last night, and when I went to vote early, this is what happened. I pressed Trump, and it switched the check mark to McMullen.
And I don't even know who McMullen is. Who the hell is he?
That guy out there in Utah. Well, I didn't either when I saw it. I just wouldn't have hardly been able to read it, except that it was on the bottom of the list, and that's how I noticed that my Trump, which was way up in the body of the candidates, switched the check all the way from about halfway down all the way to the bottom line. But he's that stalking horse that they've put up there to try to get the Mormons to vote
for
him instead of for Trump.
Oh, well, yeah. Half the intelligence agency is either filled with Masons or Mormons. And from what I can figure out, there are two peas in the same pod. And don't you know that the Mormons have been just dutifully saving all the relevant information to resurrect the United States once it crumbles? They want to be the people in charge, don't you know?
Yep, I've been to studies of the Book of Mormon, and it's sort of, let me call it far out, all right? And I won't say anything, I can't say something good, I won't say anything else.
Well, being a talk show host, my career would have ended 20 years ago if that was the case. By the way, it's not facetiousness, it's sarcasm.
Okay.
Yeah. Anything else, Alan?
The poll, the ladies and the poll workers in the building where this was taking place, not the usual polling station at the town hall, but they were people that I recognized mostly, very nice. You know, you see them at the grocery store, you see them at the bank, you see them at the post office, so I don't think there were any spies or anything. They were very nice. But I went, whoops, look what happened. And one of them said something. I thought he would probably vote for Trump, you know, talking about me.
Well, Alan, what I want to know is when you punch Trump, and the Utah Mormon popped up. Did you tell them about this?
Yeah, I was sitting there at the table. This is one of those portable sort of suitcase kind of things that they lay down in front of you.
Yeah, I'm familiar with it, yeah.
And rather than the thing where you have the table and the...
Right. No, I got you. It's the portable unit. I got you.
Anyway, she said that good-naturedly, of course, but, you know, she did say it. But she immediately went back and punched Trump for me with her own little pencil, and it stuck. And of course, she went through the next page, next page, next page, confirm, cast, vote, rigmarole. So so I finally decided that I probably did vote for Trump, but because you said anybody might be elected, that reminded me, I said, yeah, but I think McMullen is probably the most likely non-candidate.
Well, and Alan, years ago, and I said that the only presidential election I ever voted in was Jimmy Carter.
Oh, I used to be that way. I didn't think I voted. I don't believe I voted for Carter or voted in the Carter election. I was still too young for that.
Well, but I was old enough to vote, and I was dumb enough that I voted for Carter. But I noticed something when I was in the more elaborate voting booth, you know, with the whole gizmo and the pulling curtain and all that other stuff. Walked in there, and I'm looking at the candidates, and I'm trying to make selections here. And I see CPUSA, and I opened up the curtain, and I waved one of the, you know, volunteers over. I said, "Who is this?" And she says, "Oh, that's Communist Party USA." I said, "Your voting machines tabulate votes for the Communist Party USA?" "Oh, yes." Well, I made a big deal out of this. I walked out of that voting booth, and there must have been 100 people standing there, and I said, "Have you seen what the hell is in this voting booth? Did you know that you can actually vote for communist in public office in this country?" And they started to look at each other like, Huh? I didn't know that. Well, that's the last time I voted. And I found a better reason for not voting is I'm reaffirming my United States citizenship. Alan, thank you for your call, sir.
In protest. Well, I was, of course, chronologically an adult enough to vote in those days, but I just didn't. I was too busy selling golf carts, watching television, and playing golf and drinking beer. You know, we waste our youth. But, of course, that was the year that television finally realized that they could control the presidency. In fact, Dan Rather said that. You remember, "Hi, I'm Jimmy Carter, and I'm running for president"?
Yeah.
Can you imagine, "Hi, I'm Donald Trump, and I'm running for president"? Not unless they said, "Hi, I'm the woman." Well, you know. But anyway, Dan Rather came on and said, "He who controls the television controls the presidency."
And he got that right from his communist bosses. Those who control the vote are actually those who count the vote.
Yeah, and when he said it, he said, I mean by that, he who has the personality for to make a presence known on the television. He realized he had said something anarchist when he said it, and corrected himself.
Well, Alan, we've got the distinct pleasure of down here in Central Texas. This asshat lives out on Lake Austin. So we got him down here, and we can't get rid of him. We're trying to ship him over the border to Mexico.
Rather?
Yes. Dan, I'd rather.
Oh, well.
Yeah. All right, Alan, I got to run, my friend. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it. James in Ohio, you're up next. Hello, James.
Hey, John. I just want to tell you, you know, back in 2002 when Glenn Beck was hijacking the Tea Party, he was in Ohio for a book signing, and I went up there to talk to these guys and try to wake them up to Glenn Beck. And while I was up there, I started talking to a couple cops, and they told me that Homeland Security was in charge of the security detail on the book tour.
Really?
That's a,
well, maybe they've been maybe they've been promised something. Maybe the Mormons promised them something. I don't know.
And I asked him, I said, "Well, why is that?" He's, "Oh, well, there's a security threat against his life." And I go, "Well, a lot of people in this world might have a security threat, but why has Homeland Security picked this guy to guard?" Said, "Well, you know, oh God, that's a good question. I don't know." I wanted to ask you also about Alex Jones. You know, the first time I listened to you is when you and him were doing a show on Saturdays.
Yep.
And I got to tell you, you kept him in check, and it was some of the best radio ever.
Well, when it came time for him to pay his half or the fair share of the shortwave bill, He found an excuse for dropping off. Oh, I know what it was. I threatened him with a gun.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember that.
Remember that? Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
And if you look at his site,
what
happened to him?
He's
going.
He's cloned and reported.
James, hang on a second. I'll tell you exactly what happened to the guy.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman Mobile Marketing App, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540.
As a regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Baiano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. Prepare. Don't despair. At www.bugoutpanama.net.
Only a fool would go to a plumber for brain surgery. But otherwise intelligent people use internet searches to find such gems as Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK with three shots from the rear and one shot from the front. They get similar financial guidance when they are investigating cryptocurrencies. RBN listeners know that American currency has not been lawful money for nearly 50 years, since the thieves at the Fed stole the silver out of the coins and began reneging on redeemable notes in 1968. Now that the dollar has just about inflated totally away and banks want reverse interest to keep your books, the high-tech world has brought you an alternative. What if you could buy, sell, and trade with fellow business people from your home with zero bank fees? If you believe banking tyranny must end, then join the digital currency movement now. Call investigative journalist Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
James in Ohio. Simple answer. What happened to Alex Jones? He's gone to Glenn Beckville. Have you seen it?
Probably like a personality change, too. I mean, very bizarre.
Well, if you look at his website, it's all political now. I think is happening here, he's teamed up with his new buddy. What's his name? Tucker Carlson. Isn't he the one that runs the Daily Caller?
Oh, Drudge. Matt Drudge.
Drudge?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think he's trying to position himself post apocalyptic America. I don't know.
I think he wants to be the next Fox News Sean Hannity.
Well, he's got a long ways to go with that. At least Sean Hannity tries to keep his ego.
Why don't you tell everybody about the story about the gun? Because I think everybody should know this about him.
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean,
all right.
Yeah, James. You know. Well, you know, the greatest assault against me was the takedown of this network. I don't give a damn what Alex Jones says or what he talks about. I really don't.
And I say thank you very much for what you've been doing.
All right.
I want to say to everybody out there, there isn't 10,000 people that could do what you did as long as you've done it. And they should remember that.
Well, I'm not so sure that I'm still in one piece.
Well, you sound all right, man. That's good. I mean, you're still breathing, right?
Yeah, I'm upright and I'm still breathing, and nobody has cast
You're talking about the voting machines. There was a local news story here. They're in a little press conference, and they're like, "Oh, we just want to remind everybody, don't take your camera in there, and you can't take pictures." And finally, one bright reporter out of the whole group goes, "You mean it's illegal?" "No, but you just can't."
That sounds like administrative law to me. We have no basis. We have no factual basis in law, but it's our policy you can't do that, and we say so. So there you go. James, thanks for your call. All righty, sir. Yeah, the Alex Jones thing, I'm 15 miles from this guy, and he might as well be on the dark side of the moon from my standpoint. I do not care about Alex Jones, and evidently those that cared about Alex Jones are starting to finally figure out who this guy really is. Joel in Wisconsin. Hello, Joel.
Here we go.
Hey.
I figured out Alex Jones way back when he would cry on the air.
Yeah. Him and Glenn Beck were good at it.
Yeah.
Only Beck had to use onions. He couldn't even muster up a tear.
When I heard that, I thought, "What a, can I say this, pussy?"
No, you can't say that.
Okay. The reason I called is, correct me if I'm wrong, because I hear a lot of people complaining about the Electoral College, and I understand that at one time, when they originally designed it, that was a really good system that allowed third and fourth party parties to have a chance in the system. And like, there's a big difference between rural areas and cities, and our founding fathers set it up so that somebody that wasn't as popular in the big cities, if you look at the map, they show where the blue states and the red states, just about most of them are red, but still blue is right in there.
Oh, yeah, but you know, I've been watching these stupid little maps that mainstream media has been putting up, and I discovered a couple of weeks ago that I'm living in a pink state, which is not even really a state, it still is a republic. And I'd probably look for Texas to be the first one to secede from the damn Union.
They should have a long time ago.
Well, but here's the problem. You start carving this country up, you think we got problems now.
Yeah.
You start carving this country up, we're going to have some serious problems. And my number one argument against secession was simply this. You've got Mexico to your back, and you got the federal government to your front. Holy mackerel. Unless you got nuclear weapons here in Texas, better rethink that strategy. I say that the Confederation, once again, falls under the aegis and the direction and the law of that little thing. What's it called, Ron? What the hell is that thing called?
That piece of paper?
Yeah. The one that was actually written on hemp paper, of all things.
Oh, Jesus. I wish I could think of it.
Yeah, you know,
it's
I can't either.
It's
on display in Washington, D.C., and they take it down every night and put it in a vault. What the hell is that thing called?
Oh, jeez.
I can't remember what it is. It's been so many years since anybody's used it.
Starts with a C.
Oh, no. Bush referred to it at one point.
Oh, he said it was a GD piece of paper.
Okay, yeah.
He didn't even get it correct. It's a GD piece of hemp paper. Joel, hold on a second. You got any other comment? Going into the last half hour of the show before we're all shoved into the Twilight Zone. And if I see Rod Serling along the way, I'm checking out, man. We'll be back.
No reason to get excited.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hi, folks. In a world of GMO, genetically modified organisms, that is, chemicals, processed foods, and a healthcare system that's unraveling like a cheap suit, it's time to prepare. God created herbs, and herbs help man. Our body can heal itself, just sometimes we need assistance. You need some help? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Our mild detox is quite powerful with its unique blend of 8 different herbs. And if you're looking for more, our non-GMO supplements will help you with different needs you might have. Health should be a top priority. Take care of your health naturally. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Give your body a treat. Let the herbs do their thing naturally. Read all the testimonies on the website. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Sickness and viruses are like intruders, and herbs are like warriors. Let the tea work for you. That's GetTheTea.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman Mobile Marketing App, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting 2 people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
You walk into this room at your own risk, because it leads to the future. Not a future that will be, but one that might be. This is not a new world. It is simply an extension of what began in the old one. It has patterned itself after every dictator who has ever planted the ripping imprint of a boot on the pages of history since the beginning of time. It has refinements, technological advances, and a more sophisticated approach to the destruction of human freedom. But like every one of the superstates that preceded it, it has one iron rule. Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace. Any state, any entity, any ideology that fails to recognize the worth, the dignity, the rights of man, that state is obsolete. A case to be filed under M for Mankind in the Twilight Zone.
And I am out of here because I now have Rod Serling standing in studio staring at me. Oh, my God. Joel, you still there?
Yeah, I've been there.
Thanks for making me laugh.
Okay, back to the Electoral College.
Yeah.
I compare it to a stock car race where there's two front runners. They're usually one of them two are always going to win the race, you know, so they're fighting it out, and they're always first or second. But there's a guy in third that he wins every third place, and actually at the end, when with their point system, and I'm comparing that analogy with the Electoral College,
the votes,
the guy that takes third every time theoretically can get all the points.
can have the highest number of points because the other two are battling it out.
So it doesn't matter who crosses the finish line first. It's the guy that's more consistent in third place.
Yeah. That's the point system. And I think that's how the Electoral College was originally set up, so that it all went to hell when they changed it so that each state, all electoral votes has to go to whoever wins a majority in that state. And that totally destroyed the whole principle of the Electoral College. So that and they did that for this reason, so that they can only have to control the two front runners. See, they only have the Democrats and Republicans. They're the only ones they have to bribe or scare.
The Gambinos are the Genoveses. So when somebody else tries to bust in on their game, they just turn around and off that guy, and they go back to the criminality that they've set up.
Right. Does Ron disagree with anything I said?
No, not at all. Not at all. But, you know, I don't put a lot of stake in polling. It's a matter of the population. How do you know you just didn't call 1,500 Democrats and 500 Republicans?
Well, did you see the poll that we posted on republicbroadcasting.org, that an independent company, they did this. They called 50 states, and they made 1,000 phone calls to each one of those states to registered Democrats, registered Republicans, and the other third were independent, or, you know, Gary Johnson people or Jill Stein people, whatever, independents. And the polling that came back, Trump just slam dunked it. And this was done. And they followed the registered voters. This is what these polling companies say, that, oh, well, we call registered voters. Yeah. Well, do they really? And how are the questions salted? How are they stacked? And I'll have to go back and see if I can pull this thing up before the end of the program. But, Joel, what did you think about the idea of doing away with electoral? I mean, you could do the Electoral College thing in the run-ups here, you know, to find out who your candidates are going to be. You know, that's fine. Let them play around with that. But when it actually comes down to the votes that are cast of who they want to be president, that's called a popular vote. And it totally cuts out that electoral vote.
I like the way the Electoral College was set up in the first place, because that...
I liked it when we had sound money in this country, but some people didn't like that idea.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
But then it all boils down to what can we trust the vote at all? Because right now, with the Electoral College the way it is, if my understanding is if you win Texas, New York, California, and Florida, you win.
Yep.
That's four, and that just ain't fair, is it? Four states out of 50?
Especially who, how many, Ron, how many electoral votes does California have?
Oh, geez, I don't know, 28 or so?
Do you know offhand, Joel?
No, but
I know it's a lot. And I've got a guy here from Northern California, had to get out of San Francisco before he got, I don't know, diseased, osmotically diseased. Ron, I guess that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
And the land of the fruits, nuts, and flakes out there, why do they have so many electoral votes? And half the population anymore is not even, how can they be registered anything when there are half of them are illegal?
I take it back, 55.
55? Seriously? Yeah.
Seriously.
I'm praying tonight for the San Andreas Fault to finally, everybody in California, get the hell out, because I'm saying a fervent prayer tonight to activate the San Andreas Fault, and we can wave bye-bye to California slipping into the Pacific.
Yeah. Well, see, this is a good reason to have a North and South California versus just one state.
I'm all for selling it off to the Chinese.
I think it already is.
Well, it is, but it just, you know, it just doesn't say that on the deed, that's all. All right, hey,
Texas,
Joel.
Texas has 34.
Thank you for your call.
Okay.
All right. Jeez. And speaking of San Francisco, I've got my San Francisco treat here, David. Hello, David.
All right, John.
Hi.
Hey, I heard you wanted to cut it short, so I'll do as quick as I can.
Well, you just, David, it's just when I get you on, you just float from one topic to the next like we're sitting down in a bar someplace having a beer.
So, oh, sure. Well, it is all connected.
Here we go. David, what your subject matter? Stick to it.
Well, I actually had two different books to recommend, and both of them on the same theme of basically tricking us into believing that a democracy doesn't work.
Whoa. David, I got a news flash for you. Democracies don't work. What country do you think you're living in, aside from San Francisco, California?
Well, out here, democracy does work, but...
Wait a minute. How does democracy work?
Well, when you convince... to vote on things that we like.
Ah.
In other words, every election we have, we put things on the ballot that we want to vote for.
Uh-huh.
That gets people to show up,
uh-huh.
and that's how we get rid of
the Doesn't matter
church.
If it's constitutional or not, based in Constitution and law. It's
well,
what...
there's not too much that we've voted on that's been unconstitutional. We don't want to waste our money. We legalized weed 20 years ago. The idea that Massachusetts is finally getting around to it. But the two books I was going to recommend, one is called For Those About to Die. It's written by a guy named Daniel Mannix, and it's about the old gladiators. And it talks about when the corrupt got in power and exposed in power too long, they would put up an utter idiot. And that person would get elected, and then once they screwed things up so bad, the people would beg to have the corrupt come back and fix it.
I think you mentioned that the last time you called in.
Right, it's a dynamite book.
Mm.
The other one is called Days of Shame, and it's written by Senator Potter of Michigan. And in it, he describes Joe McCarthy days and how much of a hoax he was. And he opens up the book by saying that Joe McCarthy, when he ran for Congress the very first time, he was endorsed by the Communist Party of Wisconsin. He was endorsed by him.
I got a whole lot that I cannot do this today. But, Lori, and thank you for sending this over, it was exactly in the 50s talking about the Lawyers Guild and how the little communists came in, you know, and the first thing that came to mind here, Ron,
yes.
Prior to the Civil War, we had a 13th Amendment. It was actually real. We had a 13th Amendment that forbade titles of nobility, people holding titles of nobility, like the barred car carriers out there, you know, the lawyers, from seeking and obtaining public office. Magically, after the Civil War, there was a brand new 13th Amendment that popped up. What kind of foresight did our founding fathers have to say, keep the lawyers out of your political process? And I, like I said, folks, I don't have time to get into this today, but this is congressional record going back to the 50s, exactly nailing the Lawyers Guild and all the communists they were loaded up with, and how all this stuff, all the lawyers started to creep into public office, and then all these little laws started to pop up, and they got codified. They got passed as some sort of law, not based in Constitution, mind you, but some kind of aberration and some kind of lawyer's trickery to start passing laws in this country that wouldn't pass, forget the constitutional muster, it wouldn't pass anything. And one of the better examples of this is the ACLU. Big clue here, folks. They're the ones that kept talking about civil rights. Not constitutional rights, not these rights that are they're inviolate. You couldn't cross them. There were no absolutes. Those were done away with. I'm going to get into that subject matter at a later time. I just wanted to tease David a little bit in this great democracy that we live in. Tim in Wyoming. Hello, Tim.
Hi, John. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. And I heard you, I just happened to catch the end of your talking about Alex Jones. I wasn't sure what the issue you had with him was, but I listen to him quite often. I mean, he goes on about different things that, there's some things he does talk about. He does like to push his nutraceuticals, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It gets kind of annoying after a while.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite a lot of the show on occasion, but... I wasn't sure what the reason
how long,
was.
Let me ask you a question, Tim. Let me ask you a question. How long have you been listening to that guy?
About 2 years.
Okay. Have you ever heard him delve into some of the subject matter that we delve in on this show or on this network? That we have gone back into history past, and we pick everything up and examine it, turn it upside down, shake it, see if anything falls out. You know,
it depends on the subjects you're talking about.
How about administrative? You know, how about Administrative Procedures Act of 1946?
I don't think I've ever heard.
Yeah, and you won't either.
Show, but,
and you well, won't either. You
well,
won't.
Like you say, you know, it's, okay, okay. Go on.
You won't hear anything of substance to teach this guy's huge audience. He reminds me of Mark Levin. You know that somehow he's.
I can't stand Mark Levin.
Okay, well, aside from that, Tim, pull him down so I can talk. I can put a sentence together. All right. You won't hear him talk about anything of substance, go into it of any depth whatsoever. It's always, you know, you've heard a lot of things on his program. He and I used to do a show together. And sometimes if I guided him in the right direction, he would comment on it or whatever else, but quickly jump off of it. His gig is not to educate people. He's out there to excite them. He's out there to rejuvenate them. He's out there to radicalize them or do whatever through his insane ways, which I've seen this guy do some crap that Glenn Beck would be afraid to even touch. Keep listening to him, Tim. And at the end of the day, crap in one hand and wish in the other and see which one is worth more.
I mean, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. I mean, is you know, the reason I've not necessarily, you know, stepped away from Alex Jones for 100%, but started listening to RBN was because your viewpoints are different, your take on things is different, and you see, you do mention things, obviously, as you say, you mention things that he does not mention. And I appreciate the education aspect. I do. I really do. He's speaking for the most part the way I see his show. He speaks for the most part to the people who mostly are not educated to the point where they can take action or actually change things.
Mm-hmm.
And the unfortunate thing about that is that, as you say, his audience is very large, and his very large audience doesn't realize that they're getting a sort of a glossing over of things.
That's a polite way of putting it, Tim. Superficial.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying
superficial. I would say would be a better term. But how are we still talking about Alex Jones when I said early in the program I don't give a damn about Alex Jones?
Right. I understand. That was actually the part that I caught. You said something about being 15 miles away from him and he could be on the other side of the moon as far as your view.
I think he and Glenn Beck ought to get together. They're in the same kind of area here. They should get together and they should all go to Glenn Beckville together.
Well, Glenn Beck is gone. As far as I'm concerned, he's really gone off the deep end, and that's there is a difference between the two in that sense. I'm not calling to defend him. I called because. I wanted to talk about uneducated voters who may still decide that they can't figure out which way to go tomorrow. Or if they've already voted, maybe they're having second thoughts. It's already too late.
Like the man in the line out of the song, the man standing in the parking lot not knowing which way to go. Yeah, I got you.
Well, I don't know the song, but I understand what you're saying. Yeah. I mean, you know, looking at the fork in the road and deciding to take it, right? Which way is, you know, left or right? You have to pick one, and I understand. You know, we have a republic. We don't have a democracy. You know, no offense to.
If you offend David. I don't care. He's happy. He's happy in San Francisco. That's why I call him my San Francisco tree. He's happy in San Francisco, and he's happy with his democracy out there. And none of the laws that were ever passed in California were against constitutional law. I'm very happy for him. I'd like to move into that bubble that man's living in.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, the you know, where everything's pink and fluffy and happy, and and you're, you know, it's all marijuana smoke and
it's all smoke and mirrors.
The laws benefit everyone.
It's a good grade of pot though. It's clinically grown, so it's
well, I made the mistake when I was in California. Years ago, I voted for Proposition 215, and I knew people who were dying and had died of cancer, and mm-hmm. so I figured for the use of medical, for medical use, it was a necessity. But at the same time, I didn't see the other side of it where people, as soon as they turn 18, they stub their toe, they go to the doctor and they say, "Oh my God, I'm dying of pain and I need something for it." And can you do that? Or you go to a specific medical practitioner and the medical practitioner says, "Okay, well, I can recommend that you use this substance." Okay, well, now you're smoking marijuana and you're not going anywhere and you're 18. So, they stop at 18 and don't go any further in some cases. But anyway, that's another subject entirely. Yeah. I mean, I wanted to, like I say, that the uneducated voters, the people who are deciding now, I have to take a little bit of an issue. There's a commercial that keeps playing on RBN and it's about people emigrating, so to speak, to Panama.
Yeah, that contract, by the way, that contract is not being renewed, and I've already let the person know that, and he came back to me, and he said he only had 200 respondents to the ad. And if you've listened to this show for any length of time, what if I called people that want to move out of this country and try to duck what's coming?
Well, I'm guessing rats playing a sinking ship, but I'm only guessing that.
Well, I've made my feelings known, and he was complaining to me about the response he got off the ad campaign, and I was like, holy mackerel. And then he come back to me and he wanted to hit me up. Well, you're charging me way too much. If I'm going to advertise, you've got to severely cut the cost of my advertising. How's that one?
Better idea, advertise somewhere else.
While I'm thinking about it right now, I finally got my secretary back today. But, Mike, do me a favor. Go in there and pull that Panama ad now. That contract's up. Pull it. Let him go, I don't know, let him go advertise in Japan or something. I don't know.
I was just about to say they could probably advertise in, if all the Americans that are hoping to flee or thinking of fleeing the U.S. of A., with small U, of course, or USSA, as some people say, fleeing this nation, the people that are planning to flee here, some of them are planning to go to Canada. I think that a lot of Canadians would probably want to relocate to Panama. Maybe they should advertise in Canada.
Well, I don't know. But at any rate, I'm not renewing that ad contract, I can tell you. As bad as this network needs money, I'm not renewing that one.
I just thought it was strange that was playing on there, and I thought, wow, this is, on the one hand, you're saying stay here and help to fix things, and on the other hand, you're saying get the hell out, or whatever, or if you're thinking of getting the hell out, then here's the way to do it. Yeah. I don't think that's right. You know, probably you should stock up on storable food, a water purification system, ammunition if you have enough.
Call aroutfitting.com and buy what you have to own before you're not allowed to buy it anymore.
That's right. That's right. What's going to happen? I mean, what's Wednesday going to look like? What are we going to be looking at Wednesday?
Tim, I started out by the show going, I don't know.
Yes, I know.
We're all going to sit and watch this car wreck happen tomorrow in slow motion.
Oh my God! Yeah,
yeah.
We're not going to be. Sorry,
I'm probably going to have a restless night tonight if I get any sleep at all.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I know I'm going to wear a red shirt to vote tomorrow, but that's about all I can say is a definite thing. I mean, I know what I'm doing tomorrow, and I know where I'm throwing my hat in the ring for, so to speak, or putting my eggs in the box for, or punching out my little Chad for, or flipping the lever or touching the screen, or no, none of that.
Well, I hope you and one hell of a boatload of people do the same. I really
yes,
do.
Yes, yes.
Because
okay, well, thank you for right. taking my... Sorry.
All right.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Have a good night.
All right. All right. No more comments about AJ on this program today, okay, folks? God. Mike and Kyle... What?
John, I'm just saying, I'm looking forward to draining the swamp. I don't know about you.
Yeah, we might get rid of the Zika virus. I don't know.
Well, that's Donald Trump saying he's going to go to Washington and drain the swamp.
Are you voting tomorrow?
No, I'm like you. I know it's a 14th Amendment citizen, a status that created by the corporate United States.
You and me both, brother, but I was tempted. Oh, man.
I was too, believe me. Yeah. I might show up anyway. I don't know.
Are you a registered voter?
No, but I just go in there with my PG&E bill and say, hey.
That's right. I forgot. You're in California. Anybody can vote in California.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me take Mike in Colorado. Hello, Mike.
Hey, gentlemen. That's a perfect segue because I was going to, while I was on hold listening to your last caller, he's talking about uninformed voters.
Yeah.
If you've contracted with the state and you're registered, you're uninformed.
Well, there you go.
They need more information. The reason I called, though, I wonder whatever happened to this counter coup that guy put out on that video last week that we were talking about.
I'm still waiting for Julian Assange that said he was going to bury Hillary Clinton the day before the election. I haven't seen it yet.
Smoke and mirrors.
I'm telling you.
I know people wanted to believe the counter coup, but after Sunday night, we know that was false.
Well, it just seems to be, I don't know why it's been done for a political reason or whatever, but maybe it's to avoid a constitutional crisis or maybe to keep Comey's butt out of jail. I don't know which.
Hard to say. Time will tell, but I think we're in for the storm. So batten down your hatches. If it goes bad, try to keep us informed how we can help besides supporting the network, and always support the network. And Tim, once this information clicks in, you'll look back at your time with Alex Jones with regret. That's all I got to say, guys.
All right. By the way, have you seen on our website why do American companies leave America? I played this last week, and for anybody that doesn't understand what Trump was talking about, bringing corporations back in the country, I highly suggest, folks. Now, PragerU does some funny things, but they got this one absolutely right. And I wanted to have some time here. I skipped the last break, but I wanted to have some time to play this, but we're out of time. But do me a favor, watch this, and we'll comment about it next Monday.
Will do.
All right. Any parting shots before we're marched up to the gallows pole here?
I can't believe the masses do not vote for Donald Trump. My gut says they will. I mean, most Americans are in that deep owing debt. They need their jobs. They need something to happen in this country.
I don't know how these people that are surviving. How I know half, 55 million people are on some sort of direct benefit from the government right now to survive, but we've got over 95 million eligible working Americans that can't find a job in this country. I mean, these have surpassed, these unemployment numbers have surpassed what happened during the Great Depression. In 1932, 1933, the depths of this thing, 25% of the people were out of work in this country. We're well past 33% and climbing. I don't know how these people are making it. I hope to hell they can get to the polls tomorrow, because there's 95 million people right there that would be pulling the lever for Trump. Just saying. Ron McDonald, thank you, my friend.
Hey, always a pleasure, John.
God, I can it be Wednesday?
I'm with you. I'm with you.
All right. Thanks for being here, folks. Back with you tomorrow on what day? Selection Day. You're in America.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.